Well, last time I was here, two Sabbaths ago, we were talking about health, and we went ahead and went through part two. We're in part three today, going through this title about principles for healthy, the operative being Christian living. Now, there's a difference, and that's a distinction that I think we're all coming to recognize if you've heard part one and part two. Part one was predicated on the fact of introducing to us, without a doubt, the reality of you are the temple of God. Your body and your mind is the temple of God. It is a very big, tremendous blessing to have a body and a mind that is healthy and is whole and is connected with God. That's important. And we went through all of part one trying to draw that connection so that we would better understand, appreciate, and identify with our responsibility of maintaining a relationship with God and using our lifestyles to glorify what God would expect of us in terms of how He views what He is looking for and His expectations are upon us in reflecting Him in our lives. Part two, we went ahead and discussed sugar, didn't we? And I brought a 10-pound bag of sugar up here and showed how we as human beings of all things eat 17 of those bags per year. Amazing. Had a 10-pound bag of sugar up here before. Didn't bring it with me today because I didn't want to talk about sugar again, but I do want to talk a little bit about it before we move on to salt. Oh yeah. But remember, sugar is a very, very, unfortunately, if we take too much of it, seriously degrading element in our diets. And we saw how sugar does indeed cause us a lot of problems. Primarily, it is a major contributor to obesity. Major. And most importantly, and here is the real rub, it degrades and suppresses your immune system, making you vulnerable. The door opens to all kinds of problems, all kinds of diseases, from pancreatic cancer, to lung cancer, to hypertension, to kidney problems, to nausea, to stomach issues, digestion issues. That's right. A lot of this stuff happens because our immune systems become suppressed. Sugar, believe it or not, as we went through part two last time I was up here, has a big contributing element to that event in our lives. So I wanted to, before I move on to salt, just mention something here again with regards to sugar. And I do have another handout, and I'm going to make this available to all of you. Here again, I wanted to share this with you. I'm not going to quote the whole thing. I'll put it up here by the table. But I would like to certainly encourage all of you to get a hold of this copy because the article involves something I was unable to cover the last time I was here about sugar, and that is sugar hides. Sugar hides under many different names on food labels. And you're unaware of it. You're consuming it, but you're unaware of it. And consequently, you don't even, in some cases, know that you're taking in sugar. And liquid sugar is the worst of all. What am I talking about? I'm talking about 7-Up. I'm talking about Coca-Cola. I'm talking about Pepsi. I'm talking about fructose. I'm talking about fruit juice concentrate, butter syrup, corn syrup, sucrose, galactose, glucose, dextrose, dextran, lactose, ethyl maltol, panela. Who would have ever thought panela? I've never heard of that. Is sugar. These are all the names that we drink. Oh, I'm not drinking pop. I'm drinking juice. I drink cranberry juice. I drink, you know, concentrated orange juice. I drink grapefruit juice. Read the fructose in some of these things. Read how much sugar is in some of these things that we are so unaware of in so many cases. And the intake, remember, the intake of this is certainly very, very serious, because the main thing that many of us don't realize is that cancer has a sweet tooth. Cancer has a sweet tooth. I'm going to quote from this particular article that I'm recommending that everybody gets a copy of before you leave. And on page 4 of this 7-page article, I just want to quote just a few things here. We'll get on to salt here in a moment, but bear with me on this. It talks about, you aren't the only one who enjoys sugar. And I'm quoting now. Cancer cells also thrive on sugar. A prospective study looked at nearly 78,000 men and women who had no previous history of diabetes or cancer. Over a mean follow-up period, I don't know what they mean by mean follow-up, but I guess it was pretty thorough as far as they're concerned, a period of over 7 years, researchers found statistically significant numbers who consumed high amounts of sugar developed pancreatic cancer. They said the consumption of added sugar, soft drinks, and sweetened fruit soups and or stewed fruit, you know, like peaches and sugar juice. Ever eat peaches? Canned peaches? Got all that sugar juice? That's what we're talking about here. Sweetened fruit soups and stewed fruit was positively associated with the risk of pancreatic cancer. While this demonstrated an increased risk of some cancers when your consumption of sugar is high, other research into the function of cancer cell operations tells us these cells thrive on sugar and don't burn other fuels as effectively. In other words, it goes to the sugar. The cancer cell goes to the sugar. It gives it the energy to propel itself and continue its division in your body. He goes on here. It says, recent research has demonstrated cancer cells rely on sugar to maintain cell function. And so you have this particular situation here of sugar still being very, very, what you could say, serious in our diet, and as a result, oftentimes unbeknownst to us, becomes too overwhelming. 170 pounds of sugar on average is eaten by Americans every year. And again, let me remind you, in the 1800s, they only ate 4 to 6 pounds of sugar a year. That's how much we've increased in the consumption of this particular element that we have so much of in so many of our diets. So I wanted to just kind of capstone this issue about sugar in regards to this, and to bring to your attention the important element of watching your sugar intake. Remember, a can of pop is a lot of sugar. It's like, I forget now exactly, but I do know that roughly about 12 cans of pop, or no, I'm sorry, four cans of pop is a quarter pound of sugar. Four cans of 12-ounce cans of pop is a quarter pound of sugar. And 170 pounds of sugar, if you want to go ahead and do the calculations, is roughly, from the standpoint of intake, just a quarter to a half a pound of sugar a day. Anybody drinking 4 to 6 cans of pop a day is easily achieving that in combination with the foods that you're eating. And remember, we're not talking about eating sugar out of sugar bowls. We're talking about processed foods. We're talking about McDonald's. We're talking about Burger King. We're talking about all of these processed TV dinners. We're talking about a lot of processed foods, brethren, where sugar is just a major part of those ingredients. That's where it's coming from, and that's how it's coming into our bodies. We wonder, where's all these diseases coming from? Sugar, major element. Again, don't get me wrong. I'm not getting off on a tangent here with regards to just focusing on sugar. I'm just saying, because I'm not a doctor, but I'm just saying, because I only have primarily two areas that I'm trying to cover in this, and I tried to kind of focus it down, funnel it down into two major areas, and that's sugar and salt. And I haven't got through sugar yet, but my point is that sugar has a major element in causing us additional problems. Needless to say, we're going to get into another area, too, with regards to emotions and mentality and so on, and our own spiritual relationship with God. Those are other things that we'll be addressing further on. But I want to just stay on this for a moment to help us all realize that it is, if indeed we are taking in too many of these types of foods, all I'm saying is yellow light, watch out, be cautious. Because the sooner you get a handle on your intake of this, the better off you'll be. Now let's move on to salt. Okay, salt's a bit trickier. And as going through this study, I got scared. As a matter of fact, I was thinking maybe I shouldn't be talking about this. Because in looking at my own lifestyle and so forth, it has brought me full circle in appreciating and realizing some of the steps that we as a family have taken over the years, but by the same token, reemphasizing the need and the fact of maintaining those precautionary steps. And I cannot help but to reconnect to the methodology by which, when I remember during the days of unleavened bread, I always kiddingly mentioned to all of us, we need to go shopping. We all should go shopping during the days of unleavened bread. Why do I encourage you to do that? Because what I'm encouraging you to do is, I know that if you are keeping the days of unleavened bread, you're going to take the time to read the labels. You're going to take the time to read the labels to make sure there's no leaven in the material that you're buying. Well, that habit needs to be exercised 365 days a year, 24/7, or however often you shop. You probably don't shop 24/7, but you know what I'm talking about. The fact of it is that it's important you read the labels. It is. Get in that habit and see how many grams of sugar is in a particular thing that you might be buying or thinking of buying. And when you see, you know, holy smokes, 25 grams of sugar, whoa, you know, or so much salt in this particular case, it may do you well to just put it away and develop a different taste toward certain things. But at any rate, my point in salt is it's not as easy to get into salt because there's a major controversy about salt with holistic doctors and health care providers. I didn't know this. I do know now after taking some time to study this. Water, of course, is the largest element in our bodies. However, secondly, salt, sodium chloride, positive and negative ions, sodium chloride is the second most major part in your body. It's very important for managing electrolytes in your body. You are an environment, an electrolytic, static environment where things are popping and hopping inside you. You are just one big electrostatic environment. From your heart, the way it beats, to the way your cells maneuver inside your body, extracellular as intracellular. And these electrolytes have a lot to do with how you feel, whether you're nausea, whether you've got a headache. A lot of things in your electrolyte balance has a lot to do with the way you feel. And so salt is needed. Salt's important. Salt is basically a very important electrolyte that many of us need to take. So I want to make a disclaimer here in that, you know, I'm not going to really say a whole lot whether or not in regards to salt as to whether it's bad or good. All I'm going to say is salt's important to us and we need to manage it, our intake. We need to be very careful about it because it is an electrolyte that is very important to our bodies And a healthy body is a well-balanced electrolytical membrane. You get electrolytes from potassium, magnesium, calcium, phosphates, and bicarbonates. And these define the family of electrolytes. And when that's in balance, when those are in balance, you've got a happy body. And you've got a working mind. Moods can actually change. Thoughts, attitudes can actually change with electrolyte imbalance. Your body can cramp if you have an electrolyte imbalance. Do you know why athletes drink the drinks that they drink? They're drinking so they hydrate to get the electrolytes back to balance their body's electrolytical environment so they don't cramp, so they don't throw up, they don't, you know, get nauseated, or they don't have headaches. Sometimes if you're dehydrated, you can watch your muscles. They'll cramp up if you're not careful with that. So our bodies are highly conductive. They're highly conductive, and we need to have a very balanced condition and situation with that. And it's very important that we do try to maintain a balance in that area as much as possible, so that we don't find ourselves experiencing fatigue, hypertension, muscle weakness, numbness, convulsions, headaches, erratic heartbeats. Potassium's good for your heart. Eat a banana once in a while. It's good for you. It's good for you. It provides the electrolytes that are necessary for those positive and negative ions to, you know, and continue to make the connections for your extracellular as well as your intracellular operation of your body. Very, very important. Because again, if this goes out, lots of stuff can go wrong. And needless to say, we can find ourselves damaging ourselves in the long run if we allow that to maintain and continue. So it's important that we balance our salt intake. And that's what I'm saying. Also, secondly, though, in balancing the salt intake, the right kind of salt needs to be ingested. And that's important. The right kind of salt needs to be ingested. And let me just say this right off the bat, and that is that refined salt, stay away from it. Stay away from it. You know that little lady with the umbrella? The one that disarms you? Don't buy that. don't buy that. Refined salt should be avoided and replaced with unrefined salt. Now, why? Why? Well, it's the difference between eating a substance that is stripped of all of its trace mineral content, stripped of all of its trace mineral content, and instead infused with synthetic iodine, which, by the way, iodine is a very important mineral for you to have. And you get it from salt. You get it from salt. But you don't want a synthetic iodine. Refined salt is infused with synthetic, chemically generated iodine. Fluoride, also anti-caking additives. You know what the anti-caking additives are in that little jar with the lady with the umbrella on the side? Let me share with you some of the anti-caking ingredients in refined salt. I can't even pronounce some of these words. Tricalcium phosphate, sodium bicarbonate. Those aren't too bad. But now let's get into the good stuff. Sodium ferrocyanide. Potassium ferrocyanide. You know, ferro, that's iron. Iron cyanide. It's in the salt. Refined salt. Oh, it gets better. Sodium silicate. Silicon dioxide, calcium silicate, magnesium trisilicate, talcum powder. Have anybody seen these lawsuits going on with talcum powder being now accused of being carcinogen? Talcum powder in refined salt. That's part of the anti-caking additives. Oh, and it gets better. Sodium aluminum silicate. Aluminum goes into your body via this refined salt that many of us salt our French fries with, or salt our steak with, or salt whatever we salt our foods with. In addition to, and I'll be reading here something in a moment, where we get most of it, because most of it's not coming out of the salt shaker. It's not coming out of the salt shaker. It's coming out of when you go to restaurants and fast food places. It's the Arby's. It's the McDonald's again. It's the all these places, the Sonics, where you go in and you add these salts and sugars to your diet, and it contributes to suppressing your immune system and contributes to adding weight to your midriff. Keep in mind, too, iodine is a very important element for all of us in managing our thyroids. You have low iodine, you could have thyroid problems. A lot of things is all diet-related in many respects, because we are what we eat. We are what we eat. And in so many cases, we, in our fast-paced society, find ourselves running around and not taking the time to truly eat the kind of foods that we should be eating, because we don't take the time to do it because our schedules are just so hectic in many cases. Bleaching residues are also in refined sugar. Finally, what it boils down to is refined sugar becomes a processed pseudo-food that we think is considered salt. When it's not. It's not good for you. It's not good for you. So what am I saying? We need salt. We need salt. And consequently, it does us well to eat salt because of the electrolyte benefit that we get from it. So it is important. And so it's important to eat unrefined salt. Don't eat refined salt. Eat unrefined salt. What am I talking about in that area? I'm talking about sea salt. I'm talking about salts with no, allegedly, no additives. Am I going to give you a recommendation? No, I'm not. Go out and read labels. Go out and read labels. I'm not a doctor. What you need to do, what I need to do, what we all need to do is take more care and interest in what we ingest. It all goes back to that fact. You are the temple of God. Remember that part one of this presentation, part one, where I spent almost that whole presentation to the point where you were even wondering, I thought this was going to be a presentation about health. And I had to come back and say, yeah, it is all about health, because you see, the connection is you're the temple of God and you should care about what goes into your body and how you're taking care of it and what you reflect in terms of your physical persona as it is portraying the glory of God in you. That's important. It is important. And God wants you to recognize that. This book is loaded with that connection, connecting those dots, and making sure we understand that we were created to glorify God in our lifestyles. And that goes to how we look, how we smell, what we do, and how we think. It goes to all those things. And so it's important we try to connect those dots. Sugar and salt, as menial as that may sound, are instrumental in the foundation and basis of how our bodies and even our moods and attitudes are maintained. Because Jervis, you know as well as I do, you give a Coke to a little kid. I've done it on occasion with my own grandson, and I always kid him. I say, "Now you're all sugared up, aren't you?" And he's got energy. You know, that sugar just goes right to him. I mean, he is percolating and he's running around. And he's good for a good hour, maybe 2 hours, depending on how much he drank or how much sugar was in that can. And then it's a crash. It's a sugar high. And then the crash. And you can see it. You can see it in your children. And believe you me, it happens to all of us in that regard. So it's important to take some time and consider the fact that we should focus on unrefined salt. Unrefined salt. Not refined salt. Consider refined salt as a non-food. You know, I was in the water treatment business for 33 years. I consider tap water is not water. Believe me, it's not water. Don't drink the tap water in the United States of America. Drink the beer. Do not drink the water. Why? Because we chlorinate our water. We chlorinate our water. That alone is what makes it a poison. Don't give it to your children. Don't you drink it. If you do anything, go out to Home Depot. At least go to Home Depot. That's what I mean. And get at least a carbon filter to remove the chlorine. At least it'll cost you less than $100 to get a carbon filter. Put it on your cold water line. Get a separate faucet and use that water for all of your cooking and drinking, soup making, whatever you do. But get the chlorine out of the water. It's a poison. It causes cancer. So, I don't drink tap water because I don't consider water, tap water, water. Don't consider salt, refined salt, food. Don't consider it food. Get rid of it. Throw it all away. You're better off. Go out and get unrefined salt. Read the label, because not all unrefined salt is all of that good. Allegedly, no additives. Allegedly, that's the operative, allegedly. You be the judge of those. I'm not going to recommend any names here other than to just caution all of us on getting to use unrefined salt. In his book, Dr. Brownstein's, and I want to recommend this book to all of you. You've got a paper and pencil. Certainly, I'd encourage all of you to read this book. It's called Salt Your Way to Health. Salt Your Way to Health. And it was written to dispel many of the myths of salt. Salt is a vital nutrient, he goes on here, Dr. Brownstein says. We cannot live without it. It's as vital as oxygen or water to our body. Salt is important. It's an electrolyte. It is sodium chloride. It is positive and negative ions. Your body needs positive and negative ions to stay balanced. Your thyroid, your heartbeats, your blood pressure, your immune system. All of those things are interconnected as they are to your attitude, spiritual, emotional, and mental health. All of it's connected. We're not going to go into that area yet. We'll go into that in part four. But the bottom line here today with salt is very important to recognize we need it. We can't do without it. So we've got to take it. However, we've got to manage it. We've got to manage the intake. And we need to shift from refined to unrefined. Unrefined. Shift from refined to unrefined salt. He goes on, and he says here, I encourage you, and I'm quoting from Dr. Brownstein here, I encourage you to read about salt and learn about the benefits of ingesting healthy salt products in your diet. Again, his book, Salt Your Way to Health by Dr. Brownstein. Salt Your Way to Health. He continues, it is important to eat the right kind of salt, unrefined salt, and avoiding refined salt. Remember, you must educate yourself as you are ultimately responsible for your health care decisions. And we are, brethren. All of us are. It's not for me up here to pontificate to you what kind of salt to buy, and that's why I'm not giving you any names. You need to make those decisions and be comfortable with those decisions for your own family's welfare and your own as well. And take opportunity. Read the labels. Get educated on what kind of sea salt, perhaps, you want to buy. What kind of unrefined salt you want to buy. How often you want to stop in at McDonald's. How often you want to get over to Sonic's for that big old cheeseburger. or maybe we want to stop at Subway so we can get bread that has Chinese hair in it. What's that word called? L-cysteine? L-cysteine. Oh, yeah. Do research on that. Yeah. These are things, brethren, that sometimes we don't even realize. And I'm just bringing these things up to keep us aware of the fact that it is good to cook. It's good to cook. It's not so good to stop at fast food places. It's not so good. It's really good that we take time to eat and chew. That's another thing. I mean, we could do a whole presentation on chewing and the enzymes and how we should chew multiple times to make it easy on our stomachs. And so we generate those enzymes from the saliva in our mouths and so on. Don't eat fast. Eat slow. Chew your foods. Swallow. Taste. Enjoy. Those are so very important to all of the things that we as human beings are all about. So what am I saying? I'm saying that overconsumption and undernutrition is to be avoided. And processed foods are so much of the source. It's not the salt shaker or the sugar, bag of sugar. It's the processed foods that we're all eating, that we're unaware of, that we do for convenience, the microwave oven society that we live in, that causes us so many problems in the long run. As a matter of fact, frankly, with some of the diets that we engage ourselves in, the fact that our bodies are still up and going vertical, breathing every day, is a tremendous testament to the stamina of the human body and the creation that God has afforded us to be able to handle the abuses we put our bodies through. When you consider, especially when you consider people that are really off the rails with all kinds of addictions, whether they be food addictions, or whether they be alcohol addictions or drug addictions, all types of addictions that we find ourselves as human beings subjected to. So it's important. And the Bible has a key to this. I want to turn your attention. Believe it or not, I have a scripture today. Over here in Proverbs, and in chapter 23, a very important principle to keep in mind, especially when we're looking at overconsumption and undernutrition habits here in the United States, so many of us in this population segment of the world suffer from. And we need to get back to a balance. We need to get back to managing our diets. And he says here, the writer does, in chapter 23 and verse 19, "Hear you, my son, be wise, guide your heart in the way. Be not among the wine bibbers." In other words, don't be an alcoholic. Watch how much alcohol you consume. Stay sober. You know, there's nothing wrong with drinking. You can have a beer or two, maybe even three. Maybe you can have some wine, maybe a good couple of glasses of some good wine. Nothing wrong with that. Become a drunkard? Now you're crossing the line. That's where the boundaries are. You don't become a drunkard. Drunks are not going to be welcomed in the kingdom of God. That's what your Bible says. God is a God of forgiveness, but it's not without expectations on all of us. This study book and study guide is really the key to balanced living. So he says, don't be a wine bibber. Don't be a drunk. He goes on and he says, among riotous eaters of the flesh. And that Hebrew word there can mean glutton or loose. I'm a loose eater. I'm a glutton. My portions are like this. And that's another thing. Watch your portions. Most people will tell you, you know, if you have a tendency to overeat, use smaller plates. Use smaller plates. Use smaller cups. Don't oversize your drinks. Use smaller cups. We've learned that when we put on conventions, you know, with coffee. You buy so much coffee, you get small cups. The way the coffee goes longer because everybody's got a full cup, but the cup is smaller. Instead of a 10-ounce cup, you get a 6-ounce cup, you know, and as a result, people are a little bit more frugal with whatever they're involved with. But he goes on here, and he says, "For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." Over here in Philippians, let's go over here to the New Testament, Philippians chapter 4, real quickly. Chapter 4 and verse 5, we read, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Moderation. Moderation in your television watching. Moderation in your computer viewing. Moderation in your drinking. Moderation in your eating. Moderation in everything. Haven't we been told that life is a quest for balance? And it is a quest for balance. Very important in that area of attempting to try and enjoy life to its fullest. So keep in mind, in both of these areas, and I know, believe me, brethren, health is such a broad subject. I only covered two major aspects, salts and sugars. And I haven't really even gotten into the other ancillary areas of health and so on. But suffice it to say, salts and sugars are at the basis of, they underscore a lot of our illnesses today. And consequently, if they're not managed in our lives, can cause us a lot of problems, even unbeknownst to the fact that it's as simple as the wrong types of foods that we're eating. You are what you eat. In all of holistic medicine, it's more preventive in its orientation. What's it all about? It's about eat right and about the next thing I want to talk about, exercise. Eat right and exercise. My wife and I, we have a little saying that we talk to each other about every once in a while. And I'll go through the kitchen and I'll say, keep moving, you got to keep moving. Because we're getting a little older, we're not getting any younger. You know, Margie bought herself a little watch. And if she sits too long now, it buzzes and reminds her, get up and walk. And so she gets up and walks because we both have very docile lifestyles. We sit and look at a computer and we edit things and we write things. And all day long, we're just sit. Years ago when I was in water treatment, I was up running around, driving in a truck, lifting tanks, running down basements, up into hospitals, you know, buildings, eco paint lines, whatever. Point being, now I don't do that anymore. And I'm not getting any younger. And it makes, all of a sudden I'm realizing I put weight on a lot faster. I didn't realize that, you know. So you got to keep moving. You got to keep moving. That's my new motto now. Keep moving. Keep moving. Do something. And go out and take a deep a breath of fresh air periodically during the day. And so as a result, exercise, which is my next thing real quickly here I wanted to just touch on, is very important. And it is important, but I want to make a distinction here today. With exercise. It is important for muscle tone. It is important for strength. It is important for bones, strength of bone. Very important. But your strength programs, whatever you devote yourself to, when someone asks you, are you in good shape? Oh, yeah, I can pump, you know, 200, I can bench 200 pounds, I had 300 pounds, I can lift dead weight up to my waist, 500 pounds. Yeah, I'm strong. What do you mean in shape? I'm in shape, you know. No, no. Your strength program is very dependent on your circulatory condition. If you don't have a good heart, if you don't have good blood flow, if you don't have a vibrant flow of circulation and pumping going on, no matter what strength program you're on, it's not going to be worth anything. A person who's in good shape is in good shape cardiovascularly. That's good shape. Take care of your heart. Take care of your heart. Do what you can to maintain a program that provides enhancement to your circulation system. Do what you can. Move. Walk even. Get something that is maybe non-impacting. Treadmills are very hard on your knees, very hard on your ankles, very hard. I myself even hurt myself one time on a treadmill because I run kind of on an average of about 6 miles, 6.5 miles an hour. And on a treadmill, when you're running, you got two moving things. The ground is moving now because the treadmill's moving as opposed to just running on flat stationary ground. And I was jamming my ankles into that treadmill over and over. And I thought like a dummy, well, I'm aching because I'm out of shape. So I'll just keep running. And I kept running and running thinking I would get out of this aching in my shins and my ankles. And I got to the point where you might as well have called me Gimpy because I couldn't walk. I hurt my ankles and inflamed, I guess, my whole lower part from my knee down because of that hammering day after day after day that I thought I'd work out because I thought I would just out of shape. Bottom line is, be careful, of course, in doing that. Know what you're doing so you don't hurt yourself. But you need to do something to keep your cardiovascular system in shape. Very, very important. Even if, like I said, if you're walking or perhaps if you could afford some kind of a non-impact, bike riding is good. Stationary bike is good. Elliptical devices are good. They really are very good because they exercise now both upper as well as lower and cardiovascular. So it's good for muscle tone. It's good for exercising yourself throughout throughout the area of your body. But this is very, very important in terms of exercising because it helps you to, as I say, get in shape cardiovascularly. And make the distinction, realize something too, that playing and exercising are two different things. Gardening in the garden is not exercise. Well, I garden. Or I go out and play baseball with my grandson. Or I go bowling. Well, yeah, that's okay, but that's really not exercise. That's really not exercise. You need to develop a lifestyle routine that affords you some kind of a routine of exercise. Like I said, something that can fit into your lifestyle, hopefully that's convenient and isn't discouraging for you to have to take the time to do that would cause you not to take the time to do. Try to find something that you could do that you would be more realistically able to achieve and be able to accomplish. Because controlling your weight is very important to circulation. Many people have ideas that certain sports will condition you, and they may for muscle tone, but the real conditioning of yourself comes in the development of your cardiovascular system. That's where your real condition can be very beneficial to all of you and to all of us in trying to maintain a good balanced life. Be careful. Strenuous exercise can kill you. So don't just go out there, you know, and say, well, I'm going to run 5 miles, and I'm going to run till I drop dead, because you may just drop dead at mile three. So don't go ahead and do that. What you want to do is work yourself up, see what you can do, maybe even get some recommendations from your doctor, if indeed you do have a doctor, to ask him what he would recommend in developing your cardiovascular system that maybe has been a bit docile for a few years, because it is important for you to be able to maintain that so that you can enjoy a better quality of life and be able, of course, to continue to contribute in your lifestyles to those that you love and that those that love you, in all due respect. So keep that in mind. Sugars, salts, watch your intake. 3 pounds a year in salt is roughly the average of an American's consumption. 3 pounds a year in salt we take in the United States on average. About 3.5 grams a day we take in on salt. 450 grams, 454 exactly, equals a pound. 3.5 roughly grams a day is what we generally eat here in the U.S. You do the math, times 365 will give you somewhere around 1,227 grams. Divide that by 450 and you get about 2.8 pounds per year in salt. Do not eat aluminum silicates. Do not eat sodium ferrocyanide in refined salts. Get away from the little lady with the umbrella. Get away from her. Don't buy that stuff. Take it and throw it away. Get unrefined salt and sugar. That 10-pound bag of sugar, 17 we eat on an average here in America, 17 of those 10-pound bags, 170 pounds of sugar on average the United States American eats. And there are some who eat as much as 300 pounds of sugar a year. a year. It's been calculated out. Is it any wonder that we have people that weigh 300, 400, 500 pounds who suffer from kidney disease, hypertension, and all the things that so many of us are suffering from? And then we compound it by going to the doctor. And I'm not against pharmaceuticals. I'm not against prescriptions. They have their place. All I'm saying, though, is our bad habits and diet lifestyles drive us into diseases and sicknesses due to our immune system being suppressed that makes us vulnerable to these diseases. And it's a house of cards, brethren. It's just a domino effect. And then we go to the doctor and we ask him for prescriptions. And we compound that now with synthetic drugs that are made and manufactured by Eli Lilly or somebody else. And I'm not against prescriptions. They have their place. I'm just saying we need to think and be more cognizant and more aware so that hopefully perhaps through our managing our lifestyles, being proactive about what we're ingesting and how we're exercising and doing what we do, we'll be more benefited with a higher quality lifestyle in the long run. And especially if we're young. Now's the time. If you're young, you have all the opportunity, more so than us that are in the horizon of our life, moving more closer toward the 70 that we have, you know, to improve certain areas. That's not to say it's never too late. It's always a good time to change things, for sure. But the bottom line is, if you're young, you have all that, all the years yet out ahead of you. Don't hesitate. Start now. Start now, because you you won't regret it, for sure, in the long run. Okay, so with that, salt, sugar, and exercise, very important for the physical side of the realm of living and Christian lifestyles. But just as importantly is the mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being of all of us, because our mind has some of the biggest and most effective impacts on our physical being. How you process, think, and how you look out in life and the perspectives you use to digest information causes you physical effects. It does. The Bible focuses very clearly on how to manage yourself emotionally, how to manage yourself mentally, how to manage yourself spiritually, how not to fret, how not to worry. All the answers, the basic answers, the fundamental answers, the foundational answers on how to live, this is the owner's manual, are right here in the Old and New Testament. From the kinds of foods we should eat, we went through that in part two. Remember, God said, look, eat this, Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 14, this is what you should eat. Don't eat anything else unless it has a cloven hoof, and chews the cud. That's what he said as far as meat is concerned. That means I can eat a giraffe, but I can't eat a gorilla. That means I can eat a cow, but I can't eat a pig. I can eat a lamb, but I shouldn't eat a dog. I can eat a lot of things like deer and elk. I can eat those things too. Buffalo, I can eat that as well. But I shouldn't eat a rhino, a snake. My mother used to eat rattlesnake, chocolate-covered in Arizona. That's what she told me, chocolate-covered rattlesnake in Arizona. You shouldn't eat snakes. You shouldn't eat snakes. Don't eat lizards. Shouldn't eat lizards. Shouldn't eat lobsters. Don't eat lobsters and don't eat sharks. Don't eat calamari, octopuses. Don't eat that. God says if it has a fin and scales, that's what you need to eat. That's how I want you to eat. Because guess what? I guarantee if you eat that, you'll be better off. You'll be better off. It's all there. Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 4. Two chapters, two separate books. He tells us what to eat, how to eat, and even how to figure out what we should eat and how to eat. You can look at it and say, should I eat that? Cloven hoof, choose a cud, I'll get it, bang, I'm going to eat tonight, you know, or not. So this is the book, And it's certainly a very important book for the emotional, mental, and spiritual well-being as well. And we'll do that in part 4.